What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 23rd, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
Greg, I love this pink shirt you're wearing today.
You know, Nick tried to talk some trash, but the jury's been in since I've been wearing this pink shirt since E3, like, you know, IGN times. So I know this is a fan favorite. I'm not going to let Nick get in my head.
And did you know, Joey informed me that today is National Pink Day.
I did not know that.
I missed
round
the memo.
Applause for pink.
I would have worn a matching pink dress, but
it's okay. Yeah, we don't coordinate.
That
on
would be
that, level
that might be a little
in terms
weird.
Of how Kinda Funny Games Daily comes together. There's not that much coordination yet in terms of outfits.
True.
Thank you for coming back. Congratulations on 1 week done for Kinda Funny Games Daily.
This has been an incredibly exciting week,
right?
The best friends have been super supportive and said wonderful, nice things on, you know, not only the forums but the Reddit. And there's even a positive gaffe thread, which I never thought would happen.
You hang with us long enough, you'll get a positive gaffe thread.
No, so thanks to everyone for all of your support. You've been really, really great.
It's been insane. This has been one of the most rewarding weeks, I think, of my career in terms of the response to this show, the way people are excited about Kinda Funny content, the welcome for you, the excitement over Danny one day being here.
He'll get back from Europe eventually.
He gets a job and he just leaves. Yeah, Danny just be starting with us in July, but he'll be part of the show eventually too. Remember, we are still a new show, ladies and gentlemen. We need your help, so please go subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Go there, watch the videos. Also, even if you're watching it somewhere else, you can get it as a podcast. It would mean a lot if you went over to iTunes and gave us a rating there and a subscription there, or whatever Google Play thing you got the odds to do. Because if you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We record a live podcast where we don't interact with you at all, except for when you go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to tell us what we screwed up. And we delve deep into the gaming industry's news of the day, Andrea. I'm glad you're here for this one.
Yes.
Glad you're here to do this one. Now, it's a new show, but I'm doing segments, you know, adding them in as I go, right? So usually we start with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. But, no, I said usually. Today I wanted to start, since it is Friday, we're excited, what you playing this weekend? I want this to be a segment too. I think put it at the top because I like to ease in sometimes to the news.
But sure.
You tell me on all the different forums and things, or just going to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, what you think.
I think it's a great idea for you to do that because traditionally Friday is a slow news day
anyway. Yeah.
Especially going into summer, there probably isn't going to be a lot of big Friday news happening.
Sure.
So this is a great idea, Greg.
What are you going to play this weekend? What you playing?
Well, I have to catch up a little bit in Paragon. I've been away for a while.
Okay.
I haven't spent a lot of time with the new hero.
So talk to me about Paragon, because you've been away for a while. Paragon is, are you leveling in Paragon? How's this working?
I maxed out on my level like a long time ago.
You can't prestige?
Yeah. I mean, no, not yet, because technically the game is still in beta. Mm-hmm. So I reached level 50 quite some time ago, which is the highest level you can go right now. And the other progression that they have in the game is each individual hero has what's called a master challenge.
Yeah.
And once you start the master challenge, you then level each individual hero from 1 to 10.
Okay.
And getting a single hero to 10 requires quite a few matches.
Sure.
You get a set amount of XP based off your win, your loss, the, you know, how many kills and deaths and assists and all that stuff that you get, tower kills, things like that. You can buy XP boosts with real world money.
Sure.
Since it is a free to play game.
Okay.
And I buy boosts quite frequently because...
How much is it setting you back?
Well, I've spent probably...
I mean, by a pop. You don't have to give me your grand total.
Okay.
You're embarrassed.
So there's different levels, right? You can buy a single day XP boost. You can buy a 3 day XP boost, a 10 day, a 30 day.
Okay.
So like, let's say I buy a 10 day XP boost. It's 550 coins, which in real world money is like... $6.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Okay.
Maybe. So not much. And you know, now that I'm saying this,
sure.
If somebody wants to correct me, I feel like I'm saying this wrong,
kinda
and I don't want to be wrong. So I'm gonna look it up while we're doing this. So I can make sure to be correct.
So what's driving? Are you driving back to do this thing where you're leveling them all to 10, like you're talking about?
Well, not all of them, because there's a lot of the heroes that I'm not particularly interested in playing with. Like for example, I don't play jungle very often, just because I don't enjoy that role.
Mm-hmm.
I will do it if I'm in a 5 stack of players and nobody else wants to do it, and I'll be like, okay, I have a couple jungle heroes that are like mid level.
Yeah.
But I usually play mid lane caster, or I'll play support in the safe lane with a carry, or if needed, I'll play like a fighter in the off lane. But my favorite position is mid lane.
I feel like I there's nothing more I love than diving into a game I know nothing about and somebody starts dropping terminology and all this different stuff. So when you're playing Paragon, are you playing with the same group over and over again, or are you mixing it up? Are you doing public matches? Is it just you and you meeting other friends and going?
Well, I have a group of people that I play with, and we actually cross play between PS4 and PC, and we chat on Discord. But that group kind of rotates. It depends kind of who's on at what time, because a lot of the people I play with aren't on the West Coast time zone.
Sure.
They're either in Central or Eastern time. And so unless we're on the weekends, we don't usually get to sync up our schedules during the week because of people's office hours and things like that. But I will solo queue, more often than you would think. It's unfortunate that the way that the matchmaking has been recently, solo queuing results usually in you getting teammates that do not know how to play at all and haven't spent the time either doing the tutorial or watching like some basic how-to guides.
Yeah.
And in a MOBA, it's really frustrating when you get people who pick a hero that they've never played with before, and instead of
they
going
don't know the role, they know the responsibilities.
The co-op matches are a perfect place to test out new heroes. Me and the people that I play with sometimes joke around about how you shouldn't be allowed to take a hero into PvP unless they're level 5 or above.
Okay.
So that way you have a good, comfortable understanding of what their abilities are, how they interact with the other teammates, how you can fight against them.
Sure.
But people don't do that. I mean, because you earn more XP in PvP matches, so they want you to play in PvP, but sometimes you shouldn't. Sometimes you should just practice a little bit more.
So what's the goal this weekend then? To get good with this new hero or just learn if you like it or not?
I would really like to try him out. I've only played one match. So Mukong is his name. He is a carry. He's a melee carry. He's got some really interesting abilities that are probably better for more expert level players.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself an expert level player at this point?
I would say so. I mean, I've put a lot of hours into this game.
I mean, to make it clear, I turn on my PlayStation 4 every night, and when I go over to the friends bar, I always see you playing Paragon.
I know.
So it is like you are legitimately around the bend crazy for this game.
Yeah, and I hate that I always go back to it, but I have been trying to play some new stuff. We got a second pro controller for the Switch. So I've been hoping to dive more into Mario Kart and to play some more Zelda, try to get everything ready to go because I'm going to take it with me on my trip next month.
Of course, very smart.
But I also downloaded the remastered versions of Darksiders and Darksiders 2. They announced that they're working on Darksiders 3, I was like, I should go back and play those again.
How's Darksiders 3 going to perform?
It's hard to know.
Yeah.
Because those games, while I really enjoyed them, they didn't find like mass success.
When they announced Darksiders 3, when they announced THQ Nordic, I was like, what are you doing? Like, why bring this back? Why use this name? But then that they got all the old IPs that you thought of with THQ in a way. And then Darksiders 3 gets announced, and I was just like, more power to you. I know there is an audience that did like Darksiders.
Did you never play it?
I started Darksiders 1. I was like, I see what you're doing. It's cool. I don't really like the character. And I bounced. You know what I mean? Like, it just was. I totally respected it. And it was that time when it did drop. I think it was Charles on Yet at IGN. He's like, no, this is like an adult Zelda is what you're doing. You're running around. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the gameplay is. And so I was like, all right, interesting. And it seemed like it had its, core group of fans. And then Darksiders 2 came and went. And then it was like the Darksiders HD collection. And then it was all the stuff. And then it was 3. And I'm just like, it doesn't strike me as you're going to make enough money on this to like, this is what it is, but maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe now that you don't have the UDraw tablet on your back, you get it off, like your financials are different as THQ Nordic.
Yeah, well, I think also some of these games make more money on the back end than we have any idea that they do, because every studio's production development costs are, wildly different.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much it cost them to make those games and what their profit margin was, but clearly it was enough that they're making another one, and I'm glad for that. So
yeah.
What about you? What are you playing?
Yeah, well, I have on my thing here things I want to play, right? I've been staring at Injustice. Injustice 2 there. I got to play the story mode at some point.
I can't believe you haven't tried that yet. It's really quite excellent.
I know. I'm reading the comics. I'm all in. I love the story of it. I'm just not a fighting game fan. I'm not good. I don't have skills at that level.
You don't have to be in order to enjoy that campaign.
Sure. That's what I found with Injustice 1, where it was like, oh, this is fun. And when it got too hard, I just put the controller down and let the character get beat to death twice. And then the third time, it was easy. I was like, oh, great. It's perfect.
Amazing.
And then also, like, coming out of E3, I was like, I want to, I have to restart Wolfenstein. I never finished Wolfenstein.
Oh, you're going to have so much fun.
And I did, and I was enjoying it back then. I forget why I stopped or what I burned out. My problem is that there's a game called Friday the 13th, and I can't stop fucking playing it. We're doing a stream right after this, if you're watching live on Twitch, where I'm going to go in. It's double XP weekend. Like, Jen's making fun of me.
You keep talking about it.
On our family calendar, like our shared calendar of like everything's happening, I wouldn't put double XP Friday the 13th weekend. Half joking, but also half like, hey, I'm going to play a lot of Friday the 13th this weekend, if you don't mind.
Let's play. I played for the first time last night on the What's Good Games stream. I screamed a lot. Because I don't play scary games because the anticipation, I get nervous, I get sweaty, my heart's like palpitating, like I just can't do it.
Yeah.
But we played it and it was fun and I see you now why you like it.
Right.
I imagine once you get a group of people, it's easier. And once you start to learn, like, you know, what things are more important, like should I go for the car, should I go for the boat, should I just try to hide, what's the most effective way to hide, things like that. And once you get start to level up people, so can you buy, like, is there like microtransactions in that game where I can buy credits to like level up my characters faster? Just have to earn.
You just have to get out there
the old-fashioned way.
What you do is like when you go into the counselors, you buy perks in quotes with your XP that you have, and like one of the perks I have is, you know, XP grinder, which makes me get XP faster. You have to assign it to your character.
Okay.
And then you start getting, they all have different rarities, and so there's different versions of them giving you more or less. There's always a con to each one. And then it is that if you have ones you don't want, you can sell them back. I think you buy them for 500 and sell them back for 250.
Okay.
And then you can turn it over that way.
So like if I get a duplicate one, for example.
Yeah, I don't, that's the thing is like, I'm not aware yet if they do duplicate, if it's smart enough. I
rolled and got the same perk twice last night.
Okay, then they do. Yeah, because that's the thing is I've rolled and I've got a whole bunch of different ones. I have no duplicates in my arsenal.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if that was like the game smart enough to do that or not.
I would hope it would be because you can't equip them. Like it would be okay if you could equip two and then the effects would stack.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it works. It won't let you equip one more than one of the same kind. So now I have like a perk that I can't use.
Yeah, just sell it back, get rid of it.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be the easiest way to do it. Yeah. But yeah, I just it's the thing of like there's so much stuff I should be playing. I should be doing all this different stuff, but it's like, man, it's kind of like when Marvel Heroes Omega came where it's like, yeah, there's a million things to play, but I'm just going to smash X and be Thor for 2 hours tonight and not worry about anything else.
Exactly.
And plus, you're going away. Like you said, I'm going away next week at the end of the week, a week from today for 4th of July vacation. And it's like my concern with Wolfenstein is I don't want to do what I did before. Like if I start Wolfenstein, I need to finish Wolfenstein.
You could finish that over the weekend, no problem.
Yeah, even with the old ball and chain, Jean-Vive Saint-Ange over there wanting to go into the park and have a picnic and stuff. That's my concern.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, I don't recall it being a particularly long game.
Yeah.
I mean, I would maybe not play it on, like, the hardest difficulty.
Oh, sure. No, of course
not. You know, drop the difficulty down. You should be able to get right through that.
Okay. We'll see. It probably won't happen though. Double XP for Friday the 13th. I can't tear away. I keep hoping they'll figure out how to make the trophies easier as we go. I'm gonna keep pounding how bad the trophies are in hopes that they listen to me. Your trophies are fucking terrible, Friday the 13th. Let's talk to Sony about updating them. People have updated trophies before. We can do it again. We can fix it here. I like that my anger about the Friday the 13th trophies brought out for this week a segment here ending, bringing back the fuck this trophy, where another guy is mad at another game about trophies. But we'll get to that later.
All
right. Because right now we're going to start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
I did much better this. The first time.
I would say 2 days ago was probably your best one.
Wednesday, yeah.
Andy's back. He's going to try it here. With what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I got what? You added some here, right? Because you're a good co-host.
I did add some.
So we have three total, a baker's dozen. Starting from the top. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Let's talk about it. Over at IGN. They say after the Daily Express published an article claiming that the Battle Royale game will remain an Xbox One console exclusive, developer Blue Hole Studios issued a statement to Game Informer that refutes the claim. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we might get PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds on the PlayStation 4. The statement reads the following, quote, "We're excited to announce that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is coming to Xbox One. We're always looking at various platforms to potentially introduce our game, but have nothing further to announce at this time." What a great PR-y quote there. Say nothing and something all at once. And then PlayerUnknown himself tweeted out, 3 months, 4 million copies of PUB or Pew Battlegrounds sold. Thank you all again for your continuing support. 4 million copies in 3 months.
Over $100 million.
Good.
That was on the press release.
Damn, that is amazing.
I had no idea that it had exploded that way. I mean, obviously a lot of people are streaming it and playing it, and everyone's told me, you know, that I should try it out. And, you know, me and the girls were thinking about maybe doing it like the next week or something, but wow, congrats.
Yeah, it struck me. It reminds me of when Minecraft first started going, where it was like the first time I'll never forget the first time I saw a Minecraft video. It was Charles at his desk watching this guy, the one where the guy burns down his house by accident, when he's like, he's doing a tour of the house he just built, and then the fire jumps out of the fireplace and his like amazing house crumbles. And I was like, this game looks fucking weird and stupid. But then it was like all of a sudden everybody started talking about it. It was the same thing here, where it was like, yeah, I think I popped over on Twitch one day and I was like, what is everybody streaming this game? And I thought it was H1Z1's King of the Kill or whatever, which I had played at RTX, and I was like, oh, that was a cool mode or whatever. And then to see it slowly start going everywhere, and then when we had Will Smith on the games cast and he was like, I'm obsessed, and he's like, I'll bring 4 PCs over here any day and I'll show you it. I'm like, okay, cool. And then since then it's just been wildfire. If everyone you talk to is talking about it. Alex Navarro was on the games cast yesterday and he was like, I'm jonesing to get back to it. And it was like, damn, like that's awesome. I'm glad it's doing it, but I am a console dweeb and I will wait for it to come to Xbox One or PlayStation 4 for the most part.
Well, I'm guessing that they have some kind of marketing partnership, whether that includes development dollars or not, we don't know.
Yeah.
So this is a very vague statement, as a lot of these marketing partnerships
This was my biggest frustration with the Xbox E3 conference, I think, was them doing the whole Xbox One console launch exclusive, Xbox One console exclusive. And then it was like, okay. So I think I can wrap my head around that, because it's all live. We're trying to figure out. I'm like, Xbox One console launch exclusive means that it's launching exclusively on the console at Xbox. Perfect. Got it. Then Steve Gaynor, Tacoma had that in front of me. He's like, no, we're only on Xbox. I'm like, then what the fuck does it mean? What's the difference between? He's like, He's like, I didn't write the text. I'm like, I know you didn't, Steve, but I'm just like, what an awkward way to do this. Why do we have to make this so complicated? Why not just say at launch this game's exclusive to us?
Well, I think previously, like a couple of years ago, people just weren't asking those specific questions. Yeah. I didn't think people cared as much about exclusives, third-party exclusives. And now we're in an era where we all want the exact specific time frame. We want the details. And I think for me, covering games, thinking about where this really began, the game that stands out in my mind was Tomb Raider. Like when Tomb Raider was originally announced as an Xbox One exclusive, yeah, people like lost their shit. And that's when the questions started getting asked earlier and earlier. What do you mean exclusive? Mm. Is it exclusive for 90 days? Is it exclusive for 6 months, 12 months, 2 years? What does that period look like? Is it never coming to another platform?
Yeah. And it's always like this, where their hands are tied because right, there's some kind of deal they've inked with whoever they're with that they don't want to talk about the fact that it's crazy how things have changed, was when, if you remember, like when Limbo came out and it was like, it was exclusive, but then started getting ported everywhere and then finally made its way to PlayStation 4. I want to say like a year and a half,
it was
maybe
a while.
2 years later, yeah, it was forever. And then with the most recent game that they just put out, I'm grasping for the name of it.
Oh my God. It's in the releases later. Broken Age?
No, not Broken Age. This is going to drive me crazy.
Which, who put it out?
It's the dead guys, well, look up Limbo. We can go backwards. Huh?
You're talking about Playdead's new
yes,
game?
Yes, and Playdead's latest game that we played that has the ending. You act like a robot in the one thing.
Inside,
thank you. Inside was exclusive to Xbox, right, for all of like a month and a half.
Yeah.
Like literally it released on Xbox, and then the next 2 days later, they were like, hey, by the way, it's coming to PlayStation 4 in 2 weeks. And you're like, oh, fuck, like that's a way better window. And that's the thing, I guess, where it gets down to, I think, there's ways to do it right and ways to do it wrong, where they capitalized, they used the Microsoft money or promotion arm or whatever they had to do, and then got it to PlayStation as soon as possible. Whereas what's always hurting with the new Tomb Raider games, which are phenomenal games, I love these Crystal Dynamics games, the year totally snuffs it out. It seems like for some reason it comes to Xbox, but I don't know if it's the install base or what. It never sets the world on fire like it should, even though it gets great reviews and everybody says these Tomb Raider games are great. And then a year later, when it actually gets to PlayStation, it is that feeling of old game is old. And I feel like that was so disappointing with Rise of the Tomb Raider, where they put out the definitive edition last year, right? Yeah, I think it was last year. And it was such a great version of the game. It had everything bundled in. It had the PlayStation VR mode. It had like, they actually really, really tried. And again, it was like, all right, cool. But you only get that it's our release day once, and it sucks that if you have that release day once on one console, windowed, all this exclusivity shit all the way over there, it just doesn't matter a year later when it gets around, which sucks.
That is disappointing, especially since a year later, a lot of times the developers have the opportunity to polish it up a little bit more, fix any bugs,
take the player feedback,
add additional content. I think some games can get a second wind, but most do not.
Right, right. We're going to come to talking about second wind, I think, down in the comments, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Don't worry about that.
Right.
Next, I want to talk about Destiny and how it's winding down, Andrea Renee. You're a Destiny fan.
I love Destiny, yes.
IGN reports, in its latest announcement, Bungie has announced that some of Destiny's live competitive events will soon no longer be available. Both the Iron Banner and Trials of Osiris PvP events are appearing for the final time on August 1st and 11th, respectively, before being reworked for Destiny 2. While Bungie doesn't reveal what forms they will take in the upcoming sequel, it does promise that they will definitely reappear in unexpected ways. How does this feel for you? You've been on the Destiny train, again, from the very beginning, right?
Yeah, I started with the Alpha way back when.
This is another one. Wherever I sign on, it'd be you and Adam Boys, and you're all just playing Destiny, talking about Galahorns and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I've spent now almost an equal time in Paragon and Destiny. But Destiny is fantastic, but it's time for it to sunset, for sure. I haven't really been playing much recently because even with some of the end game stuff that they've brought for legacy players leading into Destiny 2, I just can't keep playing the same strikes content over and over again. Like, I do like that they added, you know, the higher light level versions of the raids. I did play the Vault of Glass, but I just can't keep playing it. So I'm glad that they're saying, okay, one last Iron Banner, one last Trials.
Yeah, the last hurrah.
Exactly. And I think those will probably get people to come back to get excited about the launch of Destiny 2 in September. It will be interesting to see what PvP events, if they're going to be doing new stuff for D2. It took me about a year and a half of playing Destiny to actually enjoy playing Iron Banner.
Wow.
Because I'm not a PvP person. Yeah. I play Destiny for the PvE content.
That's what I did when I played Destiny. Yeah. And I enjoyed Destiny, you know, when it first came out, but not to like your level. But yeah. I enjoyed Destiny and, you know, eventually put it down. But yeah, I never did PvP stuff. I know I'm not good, so why would I enter the Crucible? I don't.
Well, because what's fun about it is if you have high level gear from all of your co-op activities, you can take it into, you know, these PvP events and do better than you might in normal play. You, of course, are going up against other people who also have really high level gear. Yeah. But as with all PvP, you have to practice to get good at it, right? And just by sheer will of just like playing over and over again and playing with my clan and letting my clan kind of carry me while I sucked.
Being
like, sorry guys, I'm dying all the time, like at the bottom. You know, you slowly
you're
like
always on the bottom of the leaderboard, the worst feeling.
Claw your way up to like the middle of the pack, and then I got to the point where I could, you know, end the matches in like the top three scores each time. And you know, PvP is not, you know, my favorite part of this game. I never made it to the Lighthouse in Trials because you have to go in with a team that's good.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I missed out on content because I never did that. But it's time. I'm glad to hear that they're going to be shutting things off. I will say, I was a little disappointed in the Age of Triumph, like, rewards.
Why?
Because it's just emblems. I thought it was going to be something that you could maybe take with you besides an emblem to be like, hey, you've been playing for a long time. Because the check marks that you have to get in that book of things to get all of your emblems for the Age of Triumph, that's a lot of stuff. And that's a lot of stuff that you have to like kind of grind for. Mm. And I was like, for an emblem? Like, that's it? And we're talking like hours and hours and hours of grinding to get an emblem.
Yeah, in that same blog post, but reported over here by Kotaku, emblems are carrying over if they're done before August 1st. You'll get you'll get emblems for the following. Completing a Monument of Triumph during year one. Completing all 10 moments of triumph during year one. Completing a moment of triumph during year two, the Taken King. Completing all 8 moments of triumph during the Taken King, reaching rank 2 in the Age of Triumph record book during Rise of Iron, reaching rank 7 in the Age of Triumph record book during Rise of Iron, hitting a grimoire score of over 5,000.
I mean, hitting that rank 7.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably 750 hours of play or more, would be my guess.
Jesus, God.
It's a lot of play.
Do you feel like, were you one of the people, or were you offended that more stuff isn't carrying over? Or like, is it?
The one thing that I was very frankly angry about was silver. So Destiny added in microtransactions about midway through to buy emotes and special cosmetic items. I was cool with that. So I bought like a big pack at the beginning, kind of figuring like, I don't know what I'm going to want to spend it on. And I've been kind of holding it because, you know, during some of these special events, they'll release like a new emote. And I want to have a little in my bank just in case.
Yeah.
But now I have some in my bank and they've said I can't take my bank with me.
So your money's just locked into Destiny 1.
And that to me is not okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
I got very angry about that because I paid real world money.
Yeah.
And so if I can't take it with me, at least let me take my emotes with me. And they haven't said the emotes are going to go over either. So I'm really frustrated about that.
Like,
and I don't understand why they can't find a technical workaround to let people get that back. I understand they don't want to give people refunds. Like,
sure.
That's not something that's going to happen. But give me a way to get that money that I've put into my bank in Destiny into Destiny 2.
I agree with that. Good call.
Yeah.
Over at kindoffunny.com/KFGDFad, Wayand wrote in and said, will you, and then he put parentheses, Greg, be playing Destiny 2? I know you played The Division and dabbled in OG Destiny, but D2 is going to be awesome. Parentheses, trust me, I'm an OG Destiny alpha player, just like Andrea Renee. Yeah, I'm actually excited for Destiny 2. I think for me, it's the, I like Destiny 1. I did put in like 25 hours, I don't know, when it first came out, and enjoyed playing through it and doing it all. But it was that vanilla Destiny was so vanilla. And for somebody who is motivated, like, I want to do PvE stuff, and I don't mind teaming up and going at it. But if I'm going to be repeating the same stuff, it was so limited in what they had. When I came back with the Taken King later on, and like, you know, where it gave you the first buff to jump you up to your level so you could play everything, had a great time. But it was also that thing of, none of my like close circle of friends were super into it. You know what I mean? And that was another one. I was like, eh. What's exciting about Destiny 2 is the first off, we work together now. So you'll be here every other day to talk about it. And then Andy's super into it too. So like on launch day, Andy and I are talking about doing like a dual stream here. You're welcome to join us too. Do three TVs here, have three setups going.
I mean, strike team is three people. We should do it.
See what I mean? Like that's and like that, then I'm super excited. I'm all over it. And I'm sure Kevin will want to play too. Kevin likes games playing with people. Yeah, Kev? Are you shaking his head? Yeah. Sometimes he's really enthusiastic, and then sometimes he does like the little chipmunk head shake. And I'm just, oh, I don't care how bad you are. But I mean, like, that'll be
I'll
fun,
carry you,
right?
Kevin.
Having a group to do it and experience together will be fun. Because it always was with Destiny 1. I would tell the stories in the podcast, like, oh, yeah, I enjoyed it, but I just fell out. And so many people would be like, oh, but we'll carry you through the raid. We'll do it. And I'm like, I don't like the idea of being carried. I like when I go and when I was playing DC Universe Online, right? And I took my break and then came back and it was like, all right, we're doing the raids. And everybody be like, all right, you know what's going to happen here? Everybody get in this half circle, do this, aim your gun this way. When he does that, that's going to, and I was like, oh, like, you guys have seen this movie before and you're telling me.
You kind of have to do that for the first run of the raid, though.
Yeah.
You kind of need somebody to be the leader, to shepherd you through, to say, okay, you're going to run here, I'm going to run here. And Destiny designed their raids in such a way that you kind of can't do it without the full group. Obviously, you know, there are some ambitious people who have, you know, done the raids with two people or one person or whatever.
You're but crazy Alfredo people.
When the raids first come out, like, you really need to work together in order to make it through to the end.
Yeah.
And that's what I really loved about that content. And it bummed me out when, you know, Luke Smith got up on stage during the Destiny 2 gameplay reveal event and was like, you know, over 50% of our players never experienced the raids.
I never did a raid, yeah.
Those were some of the best content in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully this time around I will.
We can still do a raid, Greg. It's not too late.
I feel like I'm so rusty. And then my other terror is like, what if I get into it and I start playing Destiny 1 now, and then it's like I burn out before Destiny 2 gets here.
Not possible.
Right now I'm hungry for Destiny 2. Like, I'm looking forward
to
it.
2.5 months away, you won't burn out.
It's like I have a great steak on the way, but then somebody comes by and like, hey, do you want some of this steak? I'm like, no, I have another steak coming. I'll wait. I got to get, because think about it though. Remember, we've talked about it on the show before, you and I. It's such a jam-packed summer. Everybody's golf, Patapon somewhere in there. Like, there's so much to play. You don't have to worry about it. This Cave Story everybody's telling me I got to play on Switch. Have you played Cave Story?
I have not.
A lot of people talking about this Cave Story. I'm going to try it. Final news story of the week comes from Polygon over there. They're reporting about Titanfall 2 getting new maps and more in a free DLC pack. Titanfall 2 sixth add-on, the War Games, will bring in two new maps and a game-changing feature when it launches June 27th, developer Respawn Entertainment announced this week. The main map, War Games, is an urban environment created in a pilot simulator pod. It features a mix of wide-open city streets for Titan combat and multi-story buildings with large windows for pilot battles. There are also a few open tank garages in which both types of forces can duke it out, along with a bonus for acrobatic pilots, bridges between the buildings that are perfect for wall running with their Tron-esque glowing colored sides. Respawn is also including a new map for called Traffic for live fire, the intense pilot, blah, blah, blah. Weapon slot, there'll be third weapon slot for pilots. You'll now be able to equip an anti-tank weapon. And then all this stuff is DLC. It's coming for free. PlayStation 4, PC, Xbox One. I forget all the time that Titanfall 2 exists.
I do too. I played it when it came out. I thought the campaign was really well done. I had a few issues with it.
Yeah.
But I didn't really spend very much time in the PvP section of Titanfall 2. And I think they suffered from a really tragic release date.
Sure. 100%. Yeah. Why were they doing that? Why did EA put them out to die with Battlefield, with Call of Duty right there? It was bad.
It was not a wise choice.
I'm also of the minority. Like, I love Titanfall 1. I thought Titanfall 2, and I know it's crazy, should have doubled down and been like, we are a multiplayer only game. Like this, I think it would set them apart if they would have done it in the right way of we're listening to, because I always go back to Titanfall 1 came out and I played it for a month and a half, which isn't long, but I mean, I was playing it for Greg in a multiplayer shooter, which he never plays. That's a lifetime, let alone the fact that I was putting in like real sessions. I regened, which is like their prestige. I did stuff that I've always heard about with Call of Duty, but never done myself. Right. But I thought the gameplay was cool, inviting. And there was something about it that I actually was competitive in it. And the problem was similar to what we're talking about with Destiny. It was just like, all right, cool. There's not that much stuff to do here. You know what I mean? It's the same thing over and over and over again. And I came back, you know, that was a spring release, came back and played with Alfredo for a video he was doing at IGN. And there was all these new modes and all this cool stuff. And I was like, oh man, like this would have been great at launch. This would have been a really fleshed out multiplayer suite. This would have been fun and like changed, you know, people's perceptions. I thought putting it in there, the single player was good. A lot of people liked it. I didn't think it was like as revolutionary as people were making it out to be, but great maps.
I'm with
great
you.
Matches.
I didn't think it was either,
cool.
But I think it's a good indication of what we might see Respawn do with Star Wars.
100%. And I mean, that I'm 1,000% okay with. And if that was the reasoning, that was their trial period, their test bed, fine. But I felt like it was like, for a Titanfall person, I was excited. I would have been more excited of like, hey, we're doing a multiplayer only thing. Like even with like Cliff's doing with Lawbreakers, right? It's multiplayer only, so we're not putting it out for $60. It does have this huge suite. Here's the thing: we're trying to make this into what this is. We're trying to make this into something rather than okay, we're gonna drop single player and do something else with it. But that's just my two cents.
I'm just gonna agree to disagree. That's fine.
That's fine. We're allowed to do that. You wanna know what's coming to the mom and grop shops?
I sure do.
Then I go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every day. The show part is what throws me. Out today, Broken Age on Xbox One.
Finally.
I know, right? That was like, so I got that press release. I was like, oh, okay. Well, enjoy that. That's a good one for you. Elijah Wood, Tim Schafer, what's not to like? And then you dropped this one in because I missed it. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Argo and DLC pack for Arma 3 is out today on Steam for free. Argo began as a total conversion mod for Arma 3 and has since transformed significantly within Bohemia's incubator development program. It's a first-person shooter that features three 5v5 modes and a 10-player cooperative mode called Combat Patrol. Then, for new dates, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered is now coming out on June 27th on PS4 for $40. If you're wondering, yes, that is the same day as the Titanfall DLC we just described. Activision going for the jugular. They already know they've won, and they're like, no, for real, though, fuck you, Titanfall. It's a standalone release, includes the full campaign and 16 multiplayer maps. Here on the show, sometimes we do daily deals. I don't commit to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to be. I'm not here pimping the wares all the time.
No.
Steam sale's going on. We talked about that yesterday.
Just when you see a particularly juicy one.
Right. There's a PSN flash sale right now until Monday at 8 a.m. On PlayStation 4, a lot of duds. But some standouts were they got Dead Island on there for $8. Dead Island Riptide for $8. Dive Kick, 99 cents. So go help Dave Lang. Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris for $5. Video Ball for $2. Another Dave Lang helper. And then over on PlayStation 3, I think it's all the Borderlands. I cut it down to Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel. But $4 for Borderlands 2 on PS3. $8 for the pre-sequel, which criminally underplayed, I thought. On
yeah,
PS3.
Agree. Those are both fantastic games if you never get a chance to play either of them.
Yeah. And then on Vita, it's a tale of two worlds here. First off, Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified, one of the worst games ever, is at $9.59, which is still too much for it, but it's comical that it's there. And then Helldivers Super Earth Ultimate Edition is $16. And I would imagine Helldivers was cross-buy. that should be cross-buy. I can't confirm or deny based on that, but I would assume if you bought it for $16 on the Vita, you get it on the PS4 as well and PS3. And let me tell you, Helldivers was awesome, except the fact it ate my save twice, and that was at the end of it, but Helldivers was awesome. I hope they fixed it. They probably did. I assume they did. Arrowhead was listening. Andrea?
Yes, Greg.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Okay.
We're going to start with Yeet Yeet Skeet Skeet. Who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you should, and said, is the voice actor strike ever going to accomplish anything? It seems like more and more publishers are just using different voice actors for their games. Life is Strange, Before the Storm, we'll have a different voice actress for Chloe as a direct result of this. Does this mean we are now not supposed to buy it if we want to support the Screen Actors Guild?
Well, in this particular case, Ashley Burch, who voiced Chloe in Life is Strange, is actually working with Deck Nine on Before the Storm. So,
in a writing capacity.
Correct.
Yeah.
So not buying the game would then not be supporting the woman who you are trying to support by not buying the game.
This is a paradox.
So I would say in this particular case, you might want to still buy the game if you had intended to, because she has been working with the team in a writing capacity. So she doesn't have, she doesn't go against what's happening with the strike. But strikes are necessary. I mean, they're always part of entertainment. They're part of other unions and other industries as well. It's a bummer for everybody that it had to come to this, but hopefully it will accomplish something.
Will it accomplish stuff? I think it will. Yeah. I mean, they're going to end up getting what they want, or at least closer to what they want in terms of their demands. It was that thing that when SAG talked about it most recently, they did say, I don't think they named names, but they're like, some of the publishers we were talking about have already gone back on it and are, giving in to what we want. And that's a weird way to put it. It sounds like terrorism, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've met us in the middle and blah, blah, blah. So the fact that Square hasn't, that's a different thing. In terms of how you want to do it. And I think right now the easiest way to support anybody in this thing would be to tweet or go to the customer surveys or do any of that stuff. Again, for the publishers, right? Go to Square and report to them that performance does matter and you're bummed out that this has happened and this is how, and maybe they should, if you agree with what SAG's asking for and how they're doing all these different things. But yeah, not buying the game. Ashley's still a part of it, which of course is such a weird thing, confluence of things of just because I'm in this union, I can't do the game, but that union doesn't cover me writing or helping them write it, so I'm over here, which is then why are you in the union, but the union gets you gigs, and it's such a mess.
Because you have to be in the union at a certain point. Obviously, digital media has kind of blown open the traditional entertainment unions in a very interesting and unique and sometimes complicated way. But it'll be interesting to see where we land once they come to a settlement.
Okay. We will one day see. It's funny too, because I thought it was one of those that there was such a flare up about it last fall, and then it got so quiet. You're like, oh, it got taken
probably
care of.
Probably because the
something?
Negotiations are happening behind closed doors.
Exactly. And then here we are. And it was heartbreaking to see. That's why Ashley can't be Chloe. But then also cool that she publicly said that, to put an end to it at E3. It was such a... usually that's the kind of stuff that we'd have rumors about, I would feel and you wouldn't get to, and then there wasn't the end.
Well, I hosted the Colosseum panel for Square Enix and the dev team at Deck Nine. So they were very well aware that this question was going to come up, that people wanted to know what was happening. And I think they just wanted to get out in front of that and say, hey, we know you are curious. Let's just be honest with you and tell you, what's happening. So I was very pleasantly surprised to hear that she was still involved, though. I think that's great.
Yeah. Let's talk about MMOs. Two questions, all right?
I actually looked up quite a few numbers trying to get a good answer for this. So.
All right.
Go ahead.
Buddha74 wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, to be part of the show in any one of these many segments, and says, NeoGaf had a sizable thread on this and wonder what your guys' input is. Do MMOs as a genre have a future?
The short answer is absolutely.
100%, yeah. Not as many MMOs have a future.
No, I think the market can't withstand the variety of MMOs because there's just too much to play now.
Sure.
But the numbers certainly speak for themselves.
Lay them on me.
So I've been doing some research. The problem is a lot of these statistics include MOBAs under the MMO genre. And you and I were talking about this before the show.
Yeah, do you think of a MOBA as an MMO?
No. MMO to me is a shared world that you play and you can kind of drop in and drop out, and you have these.
And there's a tavern to go to, and like there's a base you're all mingling around. Yeah.
I don't think MOBAs represent that.
I agree.
So I feel like it's a little disingenuous when you look at these MMO numbers, because MOBAs are included in that. So, you know, take that for what you will. But revenue generated by free to play and pay to play massively multiplayer online games is a lot of money. So in Asia, where the market is the biggest, it looks like the free to play revenue is $11 billion.
God damn, son.
In North America, $1.9 billion. Worldwide, it looks to be, I'm trying to do some quick math here, because they have this giant graph, but they don't have the numbers. See, you know, they want you to pay for the statistic
report.
Don't pay them a
goddamn thing. And
I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I think what you need to take away from this is that it's estimated by the end of 2017, the total global market for PC and MMO online games will reach $30.7 billion, accounting for 31% of total global games market revenue. Now, this includes the most popular games in the category: League of Legends, Crossfire, World of Warcraft. So,
DC Universe Online, of course.
It's not in the top.
Huh? Interesting. That's
weird.
But
it's in there.
Best MMO of all time. No, I think. I mean, do MMOs as a genre have a future? Yes. I feel like it is going to get smaller and smaller until it just is what it is. I don't think it's going to go away, though, because there is a gamer that wants to play those and have those kinds of experiences. It's interesting because I feel like they were so popular, you know what I mean, to go back a generation, even like, you know, even during the PS3 life cycle, they're popular on PCs. Before that, of course, there's EverQuest and on WoW and a million other things. I think that those tentpole MMOs are still going to be there. The problem is, like, it's just, if you're going to come into that space now, you have to have something that's incredible and redefining and getting people a million different ways. I'm trying to remember, I'm sure somebody will put it for me in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. What was on Up at Noon, Mike Donatelli came in, right? His first time ever, and was showing a game, and I want to say it was like WildStar. Is that what was it? No, was it? Is WildStar still around? Did that, because that was one I think that they launched it and then immediately went free to play, and then it was like, I don't know what's happening with it. And you know, you see it with this, you know, Star Wars not being as, even when that was the, I think that was the big canary in the coal mine, when it was like, hey, we're putting out Star Wars The Old Republic, and it was like, hey, nah, no, people aren't super into that. It was like, oh fuck, like if a Star Wars MMO can't catch on right now, what can? How do you do this?
Well, WildStar 2 was officially announced, and it's launching in mid-2018. That was reported back in April. So clearly it's doing well if they're making a second one.
Sure. Yeah. And that's the thing, is I think this is when we get back to similar what we're talking about with esports, or what I talk about when I talk about Dota or League in general, is like there are these small pocket communities of gamers, right? And like they love that and they support that. You know what I mean?
Or not necessarily small. We're talking millions of registered users around the globe, right?
I'm just saying, like, not, you know, what's the biggest game ever? You think Call of Duty or something, right? But there are these things that are going and making games happen and making sequels happen. And I don't even hear about it because I'm just not paying attention to that part of the video game landscape. But you know, when we go back to visit Jen's folks in Canada or whatever, like her sister's on the computer and now she's playing a lot of Overwatch, which I can talk to her about, which is exciting. But she was all over WoW, you know what I mean? Like, she, there is an MMO player. I think at last check it was something like 700 hours is what I put into DC Universe Online. Like, they're awesome when you want that kind of game and you want that kind of vibe and you want to jump into it. And I think, you know, Marvel Heroes is and isn't, you know, it's like an action MMO. It's like an action RPG with other people running around. But if you want to treat it more like an MMO and have it like that, it's there. And there is a future. I just don't think it's ever going to be as big as it was.
Right.
I think now that everyone's attention is so shattered, and I don't even mean video games where there's 30,000 releases a week. It is also, oh, Glow's on Netflix and this movie's in theaters, but I have my phone and I want to do this and I'm playing this game, but I'm playing that. And to sit down and be like, I only play this.
Right.
It's like a profession.
Well, we're seeing a trend across video games where mobile is going to overtake PC gaming as the number one platform where people play worldwide. Mm. I know my friendly nemesis, Colin Moriarty, and I had a very interesting and heated debate about mobile games, but the numbers don't lie, Colin.
but it's that thing of like,
mobile games are taking over. I'm not saying they're good mobile games, but exist and they make a lot of money.
And then it's that argument too of like, sure, they're going to overtake PC games, but what does that mean in terms of like who's, like my mom will occasionally play a mobile game, right? And it's like, I don't count her as a gamer. I don't count her as.
But why not?
Because I mean, she bought a DS. and she bought one game and she couldn't figure out how to feed the horse. Now, to her credit, when I came over and she gave me the game, I couldn't figure out how to feed the horse either. Okay. So it was just bad game design. But I mean, like, it's just because I guess it's just my traditional definition. I think that the Steam community and the PC community, right, is more likely to spend money and put money back into it, if that makes sense, and buy a full-fledged game.
You mean buy a game that has one box price that doesn't have microtransactions?
Right. And I know that my mom, let's say, or whoever is playing any mobile game, they're going to, you know, like Mario. I'm playing Mario, right? I bought one. Well, that's a bad example. But you know what
you
I mean?
You can play Mario on mobile now.
Yeah. Well, I know. That's what, oh, no, that's what
and
I'm
look
talking
at Sega,
about.
Sega Forever, which we talked about earlier this
don't
week.
Don't buy the Sega things. Don't trust those. Don't get into Sega Forever until it turns out.
I'm just
out.
Saying, I had this conversation with one of the people that I worked with at Facebook. So at E3, you know, I hosted the Facebook Live stage. And I had a conversation with somebody about video games because Facebook has a lot of integrated aspects in video games because they're on all of the consoles. Post your updates to Facebook, whatever. And so I was talking to her about what games she plays, and she only plays on mobile.
Interesting.
And so I asked her, I said, do you consider yourself a gamer? And she said, yeah, I think so. She's like, I play on my phone like every day.
Right.
But she doesn't own a console. She doesn't play games on her PC. She only plays on her mobile device.
And to be clear, I'm not one of the haters of, I'm not disparaging mobile users. I'm just saying that I know there are people playing who are like my mom who've bought one app and that's all they're ever going to do. And they think of it as a distraction. They don't think of it as an art form. They don't think of it as an industry. And like,
totally.
Granted, they're using it and that's great. And they're, you know, foots in the door kind of thing. But I'm not saying like for this person of like, I only put, I'm not disparaging mobile gamers as a whole. I'm just saying that I know that when you lump all these numbers together, it's like, what is my mom actively ever going to buy another game? Is she only playing this one?
Well,
thing?
If she's not an active user, that's a different conversation. Right.
And so that's the whole thing where it's like, it's sold this many, or there's this many people engaged. It's like, well, what are you counting as engagement and how are you working?
Right,
that's what
I'm
saying.
There's a slippery slope between registered users and active users, right? And we know a lot of publishers like to promote their registered users because that means, oh, I logged in one time.
Yep.
And that's usually a wildly different number than their daily active or monthly active
users. And their concurrence and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole.
You're fine. Okay. You can go any rabbit hole you want here. Kind of Funny Games Daily loves rabbit holes.
Fantastic. So, short answer, Buddha 74, it has a future.
It has a future. Don't worry. That genre will be around. Even though I want to read that Gaff thread, I couldn't find it when I was looking. Link me next time. If you ever want to do stuff and you put stuff in at kindoffunny.com/KFGD and you want us to talk about it specifically, go ahead and drop a link in there. No big deal. I wanted to do two MMO questions. So here's Cameron Abbott, friend of the show. He says, with the NoClip documentary on Final Fantasy 14 coming out, shout out to Danny O'Dwyer, even though he can't show up to this office to work, he's still publishing NoClip stuff. The question of games that catastrophically fail but have the potential to bounce back is something that has been on my mind. For you, wonderful, Kind of Funny Games Daily folks, what is a game or franchise that, if given the right shift or nudge in the right direction, could be a success after such a failure? Also, been loving the intensity between Greg and Andrea, and I didn't realize how much I had missed the serious industry discussion talk. Can't thank you enough for bringing this the heat on this one, and can't wait for y'all to keep up the great work.
Thanks, Cameron.
So yeah, Final Fantasy 14. How crazy is that? That's still a thing. That, I mean, if you don't know the story of this game getting released, no one liking it, them going back to the drawing board and putting it out again, and then finding an audience, definitely. Well, even if you did know that, go watch Danny's NoClip documentary series. It's great. The first part's up right now. What's a game that failed that you think actually could be something?
Oh man,
there's so many. I think, and I mean, like, not to the level of like Final Fantasy or whatever, but like, I think Enslaved was a great idea. Enslaved was a great game that did not do enough, and then never got a sequel, and nobody did anything with. And that's not a failure in terms of like it shut down the studio or something, but it failed in the way of like, where the fuck's more Enslaved?
The one that comes to mind for me is Kingdoms of Amalur.
Oh my god, don't even start, Andrea.
I loved that game.
Amalur was so good.
Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, 38 Studios,
god
man.
Damn that guy.
38 Studios. It wasn't his fault. It was like, it was a million things.
Well, I mean, it wasn't not his fault. He had a hand in it, for sure.
38 Studios is another good as we stay on this MMO route, too, if you remember, of like, they were working on Copernicus, this MMO. That was their game. And then they were like, we'll make Reckoning. They bought the people who were making Reckoning to put it in the Reckoning or the Copernicus world to build this thing and make money while they kept working on this game. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning was so fucking good.
It was really good.
God, that is the, we're not even going to talk about any other games I was going to bring up. No, that was, The combat was so good. There was so much depth to this. It's an open world RPG. Obviously, you can pick it up probably for cheap as hell now. Mm-hmm. I remember playing that so many hours, so long. And it's one of those things to this day. The last time it happened was at when I went to see Mass Effect Andromeda for the first time. And they were doing the presentations and like, oh, okay, this is this guy and he's done that. And they got this guy and he's like, this is this guy. He worked on Kings of Amalur Wrecking and did this. And I was like, as soon as the demo ended, I went up to him like, I'm sorry, did I hear that you worked on Kingdoms of Amalur Wrecking? He's like, yeah. And I just hugged him. And I was like, it was so good.
So good.
I'm sorry that you guys got such a raw deal. That game was so fucking good. Oh my God. Now you got me thinking of that. That's hard. That's
you
painful.
Can play that this weekend.
Oh, well, no.
Fire up the Xbox 360.
No, come on. Come on now. That didn't have any trophies. That was the other thing, too, is that the Pirate DLC came out and it didn't have trophies. And then they patched them back in, but I'd already done the quest, so I couldn't get it.
See, I was playing it on Xbox, so I missed that problem.
That was your mistake. Okay. I want to do two housekeeping questions. Anonymous wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, when choosing questions for the show, do you guys only check the questions that were submitted that morning and the day before? I check from when the last show ended to this show starting. That's what I do that. But as always, it'd be helpful if in the morning you popped in, you said, what's the news of the day? They'll probably talk about that and ask questions about that. But it's whatever you want to do. And then Raph Anime said, can we get a shameless plug? Can we get a shameless what's good games plug on the show by the busiest woman in video games? Plug some stuff that you're doing.
Absolutely. So every Friday, our new podcast and video cast comes out. If you guys want to subscribe, it's on most podcast services, mm-hmm. iTunes, Google Play. If you go to patreon.com/whatsgoodgames, you can get all of the links there. Also on whatsgoodgames.com. The video cast version, we haven't started breaking it out into individual segments, so it's one long video. That's on youtube.com/whatsgoodgames. We always tweet the links on our Twitter account. That's whatsgood_games. You can watch it on a variety of platforms. So we do use Libsyn. You guys were talking about that yesterday.
Are you already on Spotify?
No, not yet. I don't think. There are so many different platforms to be on. Getting the RSS feed be the best way if you have a specific platform. But as always, if you guys want it on a platform, you know, tweet to us, email us, write to us somewhere on Facebook or wherever. But yeah, thank you for asking. It's out today. We got a new episode. We talked about Edith Finch, which I mentioned on Wednesday.
Did.
We have a fourth segment called Off Topic where we talk about stuff that's not video games.
Sure.
And this week we talked about Wonder Woman. Oh. We did accidentally put some spoilers in there. So if you guys haven't seen the movie, you might want to skip it. But if you
should have seen it by now, come on now.
Yeah, it's good.
When's DC film ever led you wrong? You know what I mean? Time to squat up. This is where one of you goes to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You put your PSN name, your Xbox name, Steam name, a specific game you need friends for. I read it aloud to the best friends who want to play that game, come and find you and play. Today I'm reading from Mike Schultz. Mike Schultz is putting in his PSN name, which is ML Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z. He says, I need some best friends to squad up with me in Paragon on PS4. Since Wukong was released, no one in solo queue seems to know what team comp is anymore. I don't know what that means.
Well, because he's not a traditional carry. That's why a lot of people are playing him in a different role.
Save me, Mike screams. I flow between silver and gold league when playing solo. Another language, but if you understood it, find him.
It's an ELO score. It's basically a ranking system. It's an unofficial ranking system because Epic Games hasn't done official ranked play yet.
Okay. Well, if you're finding him on PlayStation 4, again, MLSCHULTZ, he wants Paragon friends. You can help him. Andrea can help him, too.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, earlier I teased the return of an old segment, This Trophy Can Go Fuck Itself. This one comes from Jason. Jason says, Greg, I understand your frustration with Friday the 13th trophy list and raise you a fuck this trophy of my own. The game, Injustice 2. I currently have every trophy except for one called Catfight. It requires you to use Catwoman and kill Cheetah with a very specific move. Super easy, right? Wrong! That specific move can only be dropped as an epic rarity item in the game's loot boxes, a system similar to Overwatch. I am thousands of boxes in already and just want my journey to be over. Love the show. Keep being awesome. Jason.
You should never, ever, ever tie an achievement or trophy to an RNG thing. That's just grossly unfair.
It's the worst. So many people are getting this wrong.
Also, RNG is like my nemesis.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Remember, I'm willing to help you all with your trophies and achievements. Not you, the you person, the people making the games. So you can always hit us up. I'm already emailing with one person. Maybe I already had some consulting already. You don't know. You don't know. But I'm out there, ladies and gentlemen, ready to help you not fuck up your entire game and ruin your trophies like you did with Friday the 13th. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 23rd, 2017.
Do you not want to talk about You're Wrong?
My who?
You're Wrong. What? I have some stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I was still going to get there.
Okay. You were teeing up like you were closing it down.
No, sorry. And okay. I got, all right, everybody, calm down.
I started sweating a little.
I've been hot all day in here.
It's warm
going
in the bay.
We're throwing open the windows when we start the stream here in a second. All right. So if you didn't know, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we record the show live. And while we do that, we ignore the Twitch chat. I want this to be a polished podcast, a good conversational show. But we have, of course, is kindoffunny.com/you are wrong. You can go there to our forums, post what we got wrong, keep us honest, be the stat boy to our PTI. Andrea, what did we get wrong today?
So I actually didn't get my Paragon coin thing wrong, but to clarify, 1,000 Paragon coins is $9.99 on PS4. And Capitalist Pig reminds me, as such, 550 coins for the 10-day XP boost, gotcha, I gave as an example would be $5.50. And I believe I said it was about $6.
You nailed it.
So that's pretty on par. As always, if you buy bigger chunks, you get a discount. You buy more, you get more.
Sure.
So if you get the 30-day boost, it's only 1,200 coins. Oh. So I usually do that, but I knew that we would be gone for E3, and then I'm going to go out of town. So
is it one? So it's like real days.
Real days.
Because like with Marvel Heroes, when I buy an XP booster or whatever, it's like, it's, you know, 30 minutes or whatever it is, an hour, but it only counts me actually playing. So if I bail right out and I come back 2 days later, it would still have the time.
No, if you buy a 3-day boost and you only play one of those 3 days, you've lost the other 2 days.
No, I don't like that.
So you
that
have to be strategic about buying your boost.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
And then Zyger, 1337,
Leet. We know him.
Says, hey, Greg, PUBG is pronounced Pub-G.
Oh my God.
Like the word pub and the letter G.
All right.
PUBG.
PUBG.
Player Unknown Battlegrounds.
Thank you, Zyger. At least it wasn't about Nintendo with this kid. Too many amiibos, this Zyger.
Ignacio Rojas said, when talking about Inside's exclusivity, Greg said, it came out a month and a half later on PS4. It came out on Xbox. And 2 days later, they said, it's coming out in 2 weeks. That's not how time works.
Well, you didn't have the dates. Inside, you're not hosting a show.
Hold on. Inside came out June 29th, 2016 on Xbox, July 7th, 2016 on PC, and August 23rd, 2016 on PS4.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
I mean, it was hyperbole, but thank you. That is good. Those are hard facts. That's what I want out of this thing.
Andy Climax said, on Player Unknown's Battlegrounds exclusivity, Battlegrounds producer Chang Han Kim reportedly told InVen, I don't know what that is, there is something called game preview on Xbox One. It's like early access for Xbox. We have the game running on that and are in the process of polishing it for the release. We'll both release it on PlayStation and Xbox.
Very confusing.
There are links here to this stuff. Weird web design that I've never
don't
heard
do
of.
Don't do it. That's how you get hacked.
Don't
that's
do it. Hacksaw. Okay. I won't. Wartortle. I'm sorry, I really butchered your name. The perks on Friday the 13th can in fact be duplicates. However, there are different tiers of rarity for each one. The rarer perks give better buffs and will sell back for a higher amount of currency.
But they stack? Because you were saying you didn't think they stack. Do the power?
Like I couldn't equip more than one of the same at the same time.
Okay, but if I had a different rarity, I would. I guess what he's saying.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
So mine must have been the same.
Well, I think rarity. I have different rarity stuff in there, so we'll see. We'll see what's up.
And finally, Smooth NK says, to get rank 7 in the Age of Triumph book for Destiny, you don't need to complete every task in the book, just a certain number of tasks. There's 96 tasks in the book, and you need to complete 61, which still sounds like a lot, and it is. But there's enough variation that anyone can get to rank 7 without grinding or spending hundreds of hours. I don't know about that. Maybe it just feels like
it
hundreds
feels
of
like
hours.
Hundreds of hours, which is what you want to hear when you're playing a video game. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Thank you for such an amazing week here on the show. It's been you guys have put us at the top of the podcast charts. You've done all some amazing stuff for us. Please, like I said, continue to support us. Go leave an iTunes review, subscribe there. Even if you're watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, something else you should subscribe to. Even if you're watching us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, like where we recorded right now, and we're about to do a Friday the 13th live stream for the rest of the day. But know that we love you. Andrea will be here on Monday.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.